Merry Christmas, everybody. It's good to see you all. Thank you for braving the elements. And I know some of you are recovering from that nasty thing that's going around, so it's good to see people again. good to have visitors. We have been talking this month about kind of these four words that we associate with Jesus, but especially at this time of year. And we started with joy, the knowledge that somebody's glad to be with us, but especially Jesus. And then Leanne talked to us about love, right? And that self-sacrificing love, that committed love, determined to bring about the good of another, especially our enemies. And then on Christmas Eve, we talked about hope, right? That confident expectation of a specific good that's so strong that it moves us to action. And we could, I mean, if you like linear things, we could say that joy plus love plus hope equals peace. And you'd have a pretty good foundation to build on. But we want to drill down a little bit within of peace. I think there are three different pieces that come with Jesus. When Jesus took the form of human and walked among us and lived a perfect life, he brought peace with God, he brought the peace of God, and he brought peace with each other. Right? So the famous verse that we've already read once this Christmas season from Luke chapter 2, verse 14, if you put that up, glory to God in highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Jesus comes with peace. He's the Prince of Peace, announcing peace. The very first verses of Romans chapter 5 talk about the peace that we have with God. The peace that we have with God is only available through Jesus. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we may boast in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus is the reason that we can have peace with God, that we can once again walk with God in that united relationship because of the things that Jesus said and did, because of what he still says and does. We have peace with God. And famously in the book of Philippians, Paul writes about the peace of God. You can think about the peace with God as being a gift, right? That's given to us. The peace of God is something that we can develop in the way, in the decisions that we make, and the people that we associate with, and the things that we choose to do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's not just a little bit of peace, right? It's the peace that transcends all understanding. And for those of you who have had experience that, you know what it is. You've tried to explain it to people and it doesn't make sense. Maybe the situation was out of control and there was peace. Maybe your mind was racing out of control and then there was peace. It defies logic and explanation. And the last one, I'm sorry, I neglected to put the verse in there, but I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15-ish. It says that Jesus came and he tore down the dividing wall of hostility, so that the two might become one, Jew and Gentile, right? That there might be peace between people. We have the peace of God, peace with God, and the peace with each other. What an amazing thing that is, especially as, you know, the world that Jesus entered into was a crazy place. Our world is a crazy place. And it's a world in which Jesus has launched his kingdom. It's begun, but it's not been fulfilled. So we still have to do battle with the darkness, and we still have to do battle with the brokenness. And those things can steal our peace. And then we turn back to Jesus for the joy that he brings, for the love that he brings, for the hope that he provides to find that peace again, rooted and grounded in the peace that we have with God because of his life, death, and resurrection. And Jesus left us this amazing thing called communion that we can celebrate together to remember the peace that he brings in all of its forms. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to celebrate communion. If you're a visitor with us, that's great. This is not about being a member here at Crossroads. This is about you and your relationship with Jesus. Like I just said, if you believe in the things that he said and did and the things that he still says and does, and you've committed yourself to trying to live life with him, like him, and for him, then please celebrate communion with us. If you haven't made that decision yet, just use this time. Maybe go back and pray, and Kevin will pray with you, or just sit and kind of marinate on that idea of peace and the peace that Jesus brings us. There is a table in the front and the back. We just have two tables this morning. So I would invite you, when you are ready, to come up and grab a piece of bread and grab a cup, bring it back to your seats, hold on to it. We're going to take it all together. Remember, it's Christmas. If you see somebody, you make eye contact, say Merry Christmas, say hello. It's okay. You can talk to each other when you go get your elements. But go grab them and then go back to your seats and we'll take those together. And the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his followers and his closest friends. And at that meal, he took some bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. When you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me." After dinner, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, "This cup is the cup of a new covenant written in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you so much for your incarnation, Lord, that you would lay aside so many of your divine prerogatives to know what it is to walk in human frailty, but to not succumb to human frailty, to live a triumphant, victorious life over sin, and defeating sin and death on the cross and rising from the dead. You share that with us, Jesus. We are so grateful. There's nothing we could do but to offer our lives in return. And say thank you for who you are and for what you do and for the peace that you bring. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. So I'm going to ask Leanne and Ben to come join me up here. And we are going to talk a little bit more about peace. I'll give that to you. And we'll also give you guys an opportunity if you have some thoughts about peace. You guys received a handout with several verses, Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, Psalms, all the good stuff that talk about peace and how we can exist in peace and how we can pursue peace. Sound like a good plan for the rest of our time?
Anyone need one?
You guys all got a sheet?
Oh, Stacy, here. Yes. Oh, Dan's still.
Diana, did you just get paper cut? It was like...
Oh, sorry.
All right. So we're gonna share, and I'm just going to throw some questions out there. If you want to be kind of thinking on these things, if you have some thoughts that you wanted to share, the verses that you have in your hand, what do those verses say about peace? How has Jesus brought you peace? if maybe you're in a spot where you're not feeling that peace of Jesus, what do you know from Scripture that you would like to receive from that peace? Right? What is it? What other peace, part of peace, would you like to experience that maybe you've seen in others, you've read about in Scripture, you've heard about that Jesus offers that maybe you haven't experienced yet? And then how can we share peace with others? That's been one of our ongoing threads through this series, right? These are things that Jesus brings to us, offers to us, gives to us, and then he expects us to bring them with us as we go. So not, you know, take you guys off the hook a little bit. These guys have had a little bit more time than you to prepare this. So thoughts, questions, comments? You can just ask a question if you want.
Well, thoughts. My first thought, actually, is this is the closest in height I will ever be to Tom. That's my first thought. I don't know that it necessarily gives me peace. Just making sure you guys are listening. Yeah, so, I mean, is there a specific...
No, just jump in.
I think one of the biggest things has always been, I love this phrase, unlikely peace, because I think when I draw near to God in the hard moments, is when I tend to find that unlikely peace, and when you experience it, it doesn't make any sense at all, because I often feel like I have no control, I can't affect any change or make any circumstances happen. I literally have no control over some situations, and I just have to say, Lord, this is in your hands. There's nothing I can do except place my trust in you, knowing that you're going to work this out according to your plan, not my plan. And even though I may have a certain outcome in mind that I would like, I know that at the end of the day, whatever outcome does happen will be according to God's plan. And so I can trust in that and know that I have peace. I have peace in that, knowing that it's not all up to me, right? Like when I feel like it's all on me, I get really anxious. Really nervous that everything's gonna fail and fall apart. But I think part of the peace that comes is knowing that he's in control and that God has it all in his hands, and I don't have to hold any of it. And so I feel like for me that's where a lot of that peace comes.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but that that relinquishing of control.
Yeah.
What you have any thoughts about that?
Well, that is when my peace prayer sounds more like, please Jesus, give me your perspective, which is that letting go, because while I'm holding onto it really tight, it's all about me. And that when I pray, Jesus, please give me your perspective, I have some sub prayers in that. So the first one is what would Jesus do? You know, like the old bracelet we had in the 90s. Like, how would Jesus see whatever's going on, this like chaos that's around me? So I always think of the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat. You know, the people are going crazy and he gets up and says, what is the big deal? Like, it's a massive storm going on around them. But his perspective was, it's okay. Just like Ben said, it's under my control. And the thing that he said to the storm was, peace, be still. You know, so that was, it was, so the first thing is like, if Jesus was to look at this situation that I'm in, what would his perspective be? Then the second prayer I usually pray is, there's usually other people involved in this perspective, you know, this thing that's going on. Like, what is their perspective? Like, how the situation that is now what I think is all about me and happening to me and all those things, I usually ask for, like, what is happening with the other people or the other parties involved in this? Like, give me a heart for what they're going through. And then the last one is just, like, how can I rest in that. Like, so Jesus was asleep in the boat, completely peaceful in the chaos. It's like, show me the ways or the things that I'm doing that are not, like, helpful right now. So there's sort of like, God, what do you think? What do other people think? And what should I be thinking instead of all the fast stuff that's going in your head and the control and all that? Like, what should I be doing and letting go of so that I can be asleep
so
in the boat?
Wait, so like, I'm not the center of the universe?
Right.
Is that
well,
what you're like?
Neither am I. So, so that's exactly where. And I think it's like by working through those pieces.
That's great.
It often de-escalates all the feelings and the peace starts to ebb in because exactly like Ben said, you see that Jesus has a part in this. It's not all on me. It's other people have a part in this and maybe there's things I can do that are helpful and loving to them. And that's much more peaceful than how am I going to fix the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it look like for you guys to be peacemakers or to bring peace with you? Have you had an experience where you've been able to do that? Or maybe an experience where, in hindsight, you're like, oh, I had a real opportunity there to bring some peace and I kind of tanked it.
I have to breathe, like as in take a beat.
Yeah.
Like I'm just thinking of my kids with stuff at home in the house. Like yeah. If I don't breathe and take a beat, I'm not a peacemaker. I'm a like, enabler. I'm a make the chaos worse person.
Yeah, peace isn't fast, is it?
No.
it's like whether it's us or somebody else, like if somebody else needs that space mm-hmm. and you know the solution to their problem and you're like, but you're going to give it to them and it's going to land on deaf ears.
Right.
But it might land a little, you know, everybody's got some space. What do you think?
I mean, in terms of specific situations, nothing immediate jumps to mind, but a different thought.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a situation. But in terms of being a peacemaker or bringing peace to a situation, in my kind of internal workings, you get to know a little bit more about me today. So I really dislike confrontation or disagreements or even light disagreements. I really like back away. So anytime there's a disagreement on something, I won't say anything because it's almost like a pseudo peace, if that makes sense, or a fake peace. Because if I don't argue or if I don't disagree, then at least the other person has peace, but then I don't, because internally I have a lot of disagreements, but nobody knows about it except maybe Brittany. but I think part of when I think about being a peacemaker, it doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have a different viewpoint or that I don't have different perspectives or a different opinion. And actually that's actually okay to do. And actually, if the other person is mature enough to have a conversation with you about what you disagree about, you can agree to disagree, but still maintain that peace and that relationship. And I think when we're able to keep that relationship above the disagreements, that's where that peace can be found, even as we disagree on things.
Yeah, that false peace is tricky because it's nice, right? It's comfortable. It's like, oh, okay, we can just go on about. But the thing about the false peace is that's going to sit inside you, right? It doesn't feel good, does it?
Nope.
No. And picking our moment, right, mm-hmm. to do it, taking a beat, but then having the courage because Jesus is glad to be with us, because he loves us regardless. We want to keep relationships bigger than problems, right? It leads us to a place of saying, okay, you did this, or I'm observing this, and it's creating X, Y, and Z. Yeah, good.
I definitely think part of being a peacemaker, too, is tapping into these verses that talk about where your mind is set. on true and lovely and thanksgiving and all those things, because especially to live at peace with everyone, because when you focus on the what you don't like about the everyone that you don't want to be at peace with and your mind stays there, it's very hard to switch to then being loving or reaching out to them in any sense of the word of Jesus love, because your mind has already had so much time to percolate on the negative. And it's really hard, especially when you don't disagree with people, or when you do disagree with people, to switch that mental narrative to I could love this person, or I could reach out to this person.
Yeah, as I think about it, like the instances where I feel like I've been able to offer peace, I've said little to nothing. Right, my words generally don't. I mean, they can, they do, they have, but more often than not, it's Mark Sayers, an Australian author, podcaster, pastor. He wrote a book called Non-Anxious Presence. And if we have the peace with God within us, that, and we're trying to develop that, the peace of God that passes understanding, when we're in a chaotic situation or when somebody's sitting across the table from us is in a frenzy, to be able to just sit and be with them and to hear them out, and regardless of what craziness might come out of their mouth, like that in and of itself is bringing peace, being a peacemaker. So we all have microphones all the time, and we get to talk to you guys all the time, but we'd love to hear if you guys have any thoughts, maybe on something we said or the verses that you have in front of us or how you've experienced the peace of God. Or none of that, something, let's keep it related to peace, right? And let's keep it brief in case there are others that want to share something. And Ben's got a microphone. And can we promise it's not going to make that terrible noise?
99%.
It's got new batteries. New batteries. There's two hands over here.
What, one here, and then in the back.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what you just ended on, just being with somebody and not having to say anything. And that's how I received peace from you one time when I was going through something one day. And you just sat with me, prayed with me, and then we watched a movie. And that's what I needed. So, yeah.
Thanks, Patrick.
And Amanda?
So one thing that was said was kind of that false peace, and how true is it if you're a recovering people pleaser that it's not a people peacer?
Yes.
Nice turn of a phrase, Amanda. Thank you.
Yeah, you can't be their peace. You can draw them to Jesus' peace, but you can't be their peace.
Right. Jesus is our peace.
Yeah.
Joe.
Just a thought on Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I think peace kind of spreads when you can do that. Like some like me lives a pretty chaotic, like youthful life, and when people that I met that had that peace brought it to my world, you know, it kind of stuck with me, and I was able to bring it to other people's worlds.
Yeah.
And I witnessed like just peace kind of working, and that's just. Little thought on that one.
Yeah, like a rock in a pond, right? Like ripple.
Yeah. That's much better. I was going to say like a contagion. A rock in a pond is much more peaceful. So true though, Joe.
You're generally much more positive than me. What else? What are the thoughts on peace with God, peace of God? Oh, David. Was that who were you pointing to? Okay. Thank you, Laurel.
So I have something that I recite with Galaxy periodically when we're dealing with either an internal or an external storm of sorts. We say, no matter the storm within or around, I can be strong, calm, safe, and sound.
Say it one more time for us.
No matter the storm, within or around, I can be strong, calm, safe, and sound. Mm. And we do that. We pray, we think, and you were talking about, you were saying about how a lot of times just sitting with someone, being calm and peaceful is important. That brings to mind something from Titus that I read, where one of the many qualifications for being an elder is being able to refute, falseness in that someone is speaking. And it occurs to me that that doesn't always mean immediately, jumping down someone's throat and telling them everything they're saying is wrong. Mm-hmm. But is there a stronger refutation for anxiety, fear, or stress that someone is just talking about, that they're dealing with in their life, than sitting there and peacefully being calm and a source of rest for them? Like, you don't even have to say anything to refute, the things they're going through.
And you guys, this stuff is all connected, right? We talk about our relational circuits, that part of our brain that allows us to connect with others and to be curious and to keep relationships bigger than the problem. But if we're sitting across the table from somebody and their relational circuits are off, like I said, we could give them perfect wisdom. Ben, your wife is raising her hand. We could give them perfect wisdom. And if their relational circuits are not on, they're not going to be able to receive it. They might nod and whatever, but there's no way they're going to be able to receive it. So doing what David said is like biding the time and choosing the moment. And yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Britt.
That's good. I was just reflecting on some of the verses in the Psalm 119, 165. Was sticking out. It says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. And it just reminded me that, like, normally I can't really force myself to feel peaceful. Mm-hmm. It's like the scriptures say, it's like when we're connected to the Lord. And I think as a doer, like, I can get really caught up in doing all the things and feeling anxious and feeling like we were saying before, like, I have to be in control, I have to fix this, blah, blah, blah. But it's like the moments that I'm the most peaceful are when I've taken time and consistent time to be with the Lord and to be in His Word and to be reminded of His truth and be connected to Him. It's just like a good reminder of, like, even as we're talking, I'm like, okay, well, how can I be more peaceful? And it's like you start checking off the boxes and making a list, and it's just like the only thing we need is Jesus and to be with Him, mm-hmm. and to make more space for Him. And that's something that, it's just like a really good reminder for me, because it's in those times that I actually commit to doing that on a consistent basis, is when I'm naturally at peace and I'm not striving for it.
That I was going to say that when I was talking about the praying, the different bit checklisty, but same thing. I really had to learn to do it in stillness, not in while I was moving, still praying, but the stillness is a really important part of it, to hear the answers to anything that you ask God to talk to back to you. It's hard to hear him while you're running around.
Right. And then when you come up against something new, but you've recently been in God's presence and been filled by Him, all of a sudden, like, you find yourself handling it better because you're filled up with Him.
Yeah. I think, so I said there's the peace with God, right, that's given to us, that's the foundation for this, then the peace of God that we can work on and develop, but even that peace of God that we can work on and develop, we're not alone in it, right? This other verse from Romans, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace, mm-hmm. right? The Holy Spirit is with us to help us grow in the peace of God. We don't have to I don't want us to get turned around and thinking, oh, there's another church thing I have to do. I have to be peaceful. But this is the overflow. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It develops in us as we walk in touch with the Spirit. And that's like, we go down a whole other road, because that's, walking in step with the Spirit is, again, learning and growing and developing. We have 2 minutes left. Who's got a pearl of wisdom for us? Yeah. You know, as soon as you get up here, somebody's going to put their hand up at the back
of
the room, right?
That's fine.
Okay.
Kevin.
I think
you're
going to have
the... Oh, the sheet?
Room. Yeah.
So, can I hold something for you?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So, like, I was looking through these verses, and the Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that bolded part, we have peace with God, through Jesus Christ. And I, you know, we've been talking a lot about how all this stuff is related and connected, right? Peace in ourselves, peace with others, the peace we bring to others. And something that really resonated with me is there's so many times where if I feel that I've done something wrong, so I've sinned, and I haven't gone to God yet, and I haven't confessed that sin yet, then I don't have that peace with God. And so then other things start to happen in my life that start to go downhill. But then I almost feel like I can't go to God because I still haven't confessed my sin over here. So then this starts to go out of control. Then something else starts to go out of control. And then it just snowballs all around. And so then I don't have any peace inside. I don't have peace with God. And then I'm unable to then bring peace to others in their situations or in my relationships. And so Brittany's probably the one who's on the receiving end of that a lot of times because she's just with me so often. So I'm sorry. But to be honest, you know, and so that's where I'm so thankful for Jesus, that you know, that Jesus is our peace because he covers us. He forgives us of our sins when we go and ask God for forgiveness. And so, you know, we talked about that ripple effect, and that's just what I thought of, is that when we can access that peace and realize that God has forgiven us of our sins and we've confessed our sins to him, then we can then bring that peace and have that spread.
Yeah, I think one of Satan's greatest tactics is to convince us that there's no way we can go to God with our sin. Like, you are a horrible loser. You cannot tell God you did that. Right? Absolutely wrong, false. First of all, God already knows. And second, he invites us to bring that to him, to start that ripple effect again of us experiencing the peace of God. All right, speak now, forever hold your peace. See what I did there? There's peace in prayer. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the Philippians verse, right? Prayer and petition, present your request to God. Peace of God passes all understanding. We'll guard your hearts and minds. Do you want to close us in prayer?
Sure.
Thank you.
I was actually going to read those verses because I think it's a great way to finish. And I never forget David speaking on these verses. And we often start at verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. And David was like, back it up 4 words. So if you back up 4 words from there, the Lord is near. Like, that is why we can do all of this. So rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have a great week, everybody.